But first up today, let's turn our attention to the crops and a bit of a round-the-ground analysis of the crops in New South Wales by starting in the west. Hopefully, this rain event we're currently seeing is just what the doctor ordered for farmers in the Cowra, Parkes, Forbes and Dubbo regions. Peter Yelland from PY Agronomy says it was getting very dry in his cropping belt, but a front coming through today and hopefully a follow-up rain next week should make all the difference.
Yes, we've had a dry period since our good rain in March. We had about 100 millimetres in March, pretty generally, and we've only had about sort of 25 mils in three different falls since then. So our topsoil had become very dry, particularly in the last week or so. We've had a run of severe frost. We do have terrific subsoil moisture, but the top was getting very dry, particularly in the cropping programs, but more so in the grazing systems. In feed have almost sort of halved in the last sort of 3 or 4 weeks thanks to the frost and lack of moisture.
And what sort of area of the state are we talking about that you know generally you're consulting in?
Central New South Wales.
And so you say that's the situation. 50 millimetres wouldn't go astray?
50 millimetres would be nice over a few days. Obviously, we don't want it in a quick dump, but we could handle 50 millimetres quite comfortably.
And in terms of the cropping program, it's a little bit behind as a result or slowing down?
Crops have certainly been a little bit slower to establish. The sowing timing this year, moisture-wise, has been pretty good to get things going on the back half of the window. The front half of the window, we had a dry topsoil. So, you know, small-seeded crops like canola were basically dry sown, and cereals were able to establish on deeper moisture, but as I said, the back half of sowing was pretty good on the good moisture, and now sort of hit that drying out phase again in the topsoil.
And what sort of rain have you seen today?
We've had about 12 millimetres overnight. We're hoping for something. I think the forecast for us today, according to the trusty Weather Bureau, was for about up to 25 millimetres for this area today, so that'll be absolutely ideal.
And are we talking about a fair bit of the central west that they're hoping to get that?
I believe it's going to be pretty general rainfall from what I understand, and it looks like there hopefully might be another system coming through of similar nature next week, which would be even better.
So 25 millimetres, and I understand it's still raining there, is it now?
Still showering now as we speak, yes.
Okay, and I guess that you're getting reports of people are similar, they're all sort of getting the similar rainfall?
It seems to be pretty similar, Michael, yes, around this area, and I think as you go to the east of here, towards Orange, I think it's increased and been sort of 22, 23 mils overnight.
And any knowledge about any rain around the Dubbo area? Because I know a number of people up there were pretty dry.
Yes, I have had a report there this morning. Not that I'm a weather expert, but there was 20 mils there overnight as well.
So it sounds like it's pretty general. And I guess so, just about what the doctor ordered, if we get some more next week.
Absolutely ideal timing. As most people have wrapped up their sowing program probably last week, a little bit of stuff still going in at the moment, but the majority of the crop would be in the ground now, so having a rain on top of it is just ideal to bring it through and hopefully join that moisture up for the deep moisture underneath it.
And what's the situation with the mice?
Well, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, we think the mice have actually probably stepped up a little bit in terms of their damage into establishing crops. They're not as visually evident at night time or around houses or things, but they seem to be fairly prevalent in paddocks at the moment, particularly targeting cereal in cereal stubbles at the moment. Yeah, look, I think the biggest concern for us is you know, the unknowns. Are we going to be able to defeat them before the springtime, and what sort of a problem are we going to have in the spring?
Peter Yelland is Director of PY Agronomy. But what about the crops elsewhere? Well, let's head now to the Riverina and our reporter, Cara Jeffrey.
Thanks, Michael. I'm at John Minogue's farm this afternoon, just north of Barb Medman. John is also the chair of the GRDC Northern Panel and joins us now on the New South Wales Country Hour. Good afternoon, John, and welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
How are things ticking along at your farm at Barb Medman at the moment?
Yes, so we've just finished planting, and we've possibly been going now for about 4 or 5 weeks planting. It was extremely wet early in the year, and we were very apprehensive about whether we'd even get a crop in at that stage, because we were just inundated with flood water. And then, lo and behold, we had a relatively dry April and also a relatively dry May, and that dried up the paddocks, and then we started planting crops. And we've just completed. Yes, we went around a few little wet patches, but in the whole scheme of things, we did pretty well to get all our crop program in.
And so what did you end up planting this season?
We've got a mix. So we've got canola, wheat, barley, and I'm also trialling a couple of little areas of lentils and chickpeas. But the majority of it was cereal still. We did have, we've had a larger canola planting, not necessarily due to the change in prices, more the fact that we've had to get back into rotation post the drought. Last year we just went for a conservative approach to our rotation, which was mostly cereals, but we've had to fix up a few of those rotational issues, I suppose, and we're back into canola again in a reasonable way.
And when we spoke earlier in the year, just as you mentioned before, that it was very wet at the start of the year, and when we spoke you were dealing with fly strike in your sheep in earlier in the summer, and you also summer weeds as well post last year's cropping season. So how's all that looking now, and do you need more rain now?
Look, we've been relatively fortunate due to the paddocks being so well inundated. They've got a good profile of moisture. We've had a couple of little showers of 16 millimetres and then another 10 millimetres a fortnight apart to enable the crop to emerge. So it's poking through quite nicely now. Earlier on in the year, we were stressing out due to the fact that we had sheep that were getting fly strike due to the wet weather and the fact that we couldn't get shearers. We're very fortunate to be able to secure a team to shear those sheep now, and they're due to lamb. I'm just splitting up the moment now to go lambing, and they've had a very good joining. But that seems to have eased off. But we're sitting on a reasonable profile of moisture, so we're probably a little bit smug compared to some other parts of the state, but it was extremely wet here, so everything got really effectively pre-irrigated. So things are poking through quite nicely, and I feel for those guys who are still looking for rain to finish their program, or still haven't had enough rain to get started.
And we're having a chat here at your machinery shed, where all the gear's actually outside of the machinery shed, so why is that?
Yeah, look, we've got mice. The mice, we're monitoring the paddocks, but so far so good. We haven't had major issues out there. I think they would have needed a snorkel and flippers and a good set of scuba gear to have survived the rainfall we had early on the year, but we're still monitoring. Around the sheds and the house has been atrocious. So at the house, we've been going through 10 kilos of bait a week, just in bait stations around, just to try and keep them out. Around the sheds, I'm just now removing all the gear from the sheds and getting any source of food from the mice out. I think I rehomed about 2,000 mice yesterday when I removed a lot of stuff out of the sheds and cover for them, and we're hoping to get rid of the mice from their food source, and I don't want them to go into my machinery, so I've parked all the machinery outside so that they can't get into it and do damage.
And has the bait been hard to get hold of?
Look, we're relatively fortunate for the domestic bait. There has been some issues from time to time when there's been a shortage of supply, but it has come up. I know that we haven't been paddock baiting extensively, but I know a lot of people have, and they have from time to time found a little bit difficult to procure. Some new work from the CSIRO has come out to say that the mice, the rate of zinc phosphide on the bait we've been using out in the paddock has not been quite high enough. So I think it'll be a while before the double strength stuff starts to trickle through. But I think at the moment there's plenty of the half-strength stuff around, but demand is variable. You think 1 week that the mice are starting to ease down, and then the next week you get hit with a vengeance, so it's really hard to try and pick.
And I guess wearing your other hat for the GRDC, how are your members tracking with the season at their place? Are many looking for more rain?
Look, the further you go south, the more rain that's required, and even down to Western Victoria and through South Australia, I think they're desperately looking for some rain to get things underway. They've had dribs and drabs, and they possibly get some germination happening. And coming up to the southern part of New South Wales, then around us, we're relatively fortunate. But further west, I know that they're looking for rain to finish programs and to get germinations, and some of the germination has been patchy. Then the further you go north up around Moree, there's been areas there that have been quite wet. And once again, they're a bit like us. So they had a very wet profile early in the season, and they've had some, they've been waiting for it to dry out, and they're planting in earnest at the moment. And then once again, as you go further north again, it's starting to peter out again. So, look, it's variable across the regions, but it'd be good to have a good, solid front come through to wet all up and down from Queensland and New South Wales to Victoria and South Australia.
And while it's probably a bit of crystal ball gazing at this stage, do you think you could be in for a bumper harvest this year like the one that you ended up with last year, or is it a bit early to say?
Look, it's too early to say. I would go through last year again for the financial rewards, but it was quite tricky with oil as wet as it was. But it was a fantastic year for a lot of people. Hard to say whether it's going to be a good year. Commodity prices are still good, but it looks like we might be down a little bit on rainfall on predictions. But yeah, I'd look forward to another year like last year any time.
Well, all the best for the year ahead, and thanks for your time on the Country Hour this afternoon, John. And we'll head now to the Central West to see what Hugh Hogan's up to.
Thanks, Cara. I'm just outside Cassilis here with Damon Soster. Good afternoon, Damon.
How are you today?
Going well. Fair bit of rain overnight?
Yes, now we could do with a lot more. It's just a good start, but hopefully it keeps coming over the next week or two.
And it's been pretty dry here recently?
It is, yeah. The last 6 weeks really cut out for us, so we really haven't had any substantial rain for sort of 6 to 8 weeks now, so a bit of follow-up would be really nice.
Were people in the area getting worried?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. I mean, sort of, spring's looming. It is the middle of winter, but it's not too far away, and spring will be honest. So, it's nice to get this wetter sort of late winter to ensure we get a spring,
And did you tip out the gauge this morning? You have any numbers for us?
Yes, we're sort of up to 6 mil there now, so, yeah, hopefully it keeps coming anyway.
What's the mood now that this rain's come for the croppers and the people growing feed in the area?
Oh, look, I think, like a lot of us, we just hope there's more next week. There is more forecast for next week, but it's a start. It's whenever it sort of doesn't rain for that 6 to 8 weeks, based on the last 3 years, you start to get a bit nervous. So it's certainly going to lift a few spirits and finish a few crops. I mean, there's a lot of crop in the ground, especially grain, sort of cereal crops that people have put in that, we're certainly... looking for this drink to even get out of the ground. So, it's certainly going to lift the optimism.
So people have been still planting quite widely for the winter crops?
Yeah, 100%. And even the same as, we haven't really done too much as far as grazing crop or anything yet, just based on the mice. I'm a bit worried. But, I'm sort of thinking at this point that if we can get this sort of rain and sea follow-up, then we might put in some sort of grain or cereal crop, yeah.
So at the moment, you would usually grow winter crops for feed, but you've decided not to do that?
Yeah, 100%. Yep. Just based on the mice early in the season, we sort of thought, we didn't want to take the risk of spending all the money and inputs to see it get chewed out. So, but based on last year being such a big year too, we had a lot of sort of stubble. And I just, in the frame of mind that I'd sort of love to, see the stubble retention and not sort of rush into getting anything in,
And is that a similar story around this district, or are more people going for it?
Oh, a lot of people are going for it. I think we're sort of lucky enough to have the country and the native country where we could sort of graze, have enough feed on the side of the hills, but certainly not everyone's in that position. So, I mean, from what I can gather around the district, everyone has been sowing and putting a fair bit in, yeah.
And now we'll head over to Lara Webster in the state's northwest.
Thanks, Hugh. And this afternoon I'm standing on the black soils of the Liverpool Plains, where cotton pickers are still working as winter sowing begins. Some have begun planting and others are a week or so away. David Brownhill is a grain grower here at Spring Ridge, and he's welcomed us onto his farm this Country Hour.
Well, first of all, we are sitting here just outside your office, and not a bad view. You're still out here picking your cotton, a few weeks left of that. But let's talk about the winter crop ahead. What are your plans at this point?
Yeah, hi, Lara. Yeah, the winter crop is going to be less area than last year. Coming out of the drought, we had lots of fallow country, so it all went to wheat last year. And then what didn't go to wheat last year is now was either in sorghum or cotton through the summer. So the winter crop area is down. We only have one field that's long fallow out of faba beans. Well, it's not even long fallow, but at least it's full. And everything else is wheat stubble. So the actual wheat area will be down, but we'll still put about 750 hectares of double crop wheat on irrigation country, which will follow the cotton, which is why we're so keen to get it picked now.
So that's the wheat. What about some other potential crops? What else have you got in the bag you're thinking about?
Yeah, chickpeas are the other option for us down here. We don't grow canola on this farm, and maybe on this year's price signals we should, but we've never grown canola here. It doesn't really suit our summer rotation. So chickpeas, at $650 a tonne now, which is very positive. So they'll be going into sorghum stubble, double crop, sort of mid-June, and we haven't planted any wheat yet because we're mainly going to go with durum on the one fallow block we have, and then we'll be putting soft wheat into the irrigation following cotton.
So you're planning on starting your winter plan around next week. What's your soil moisture doing at the moment?
Yeah, so my air profiles aren't full, but they're for a winter crop, they're full enough to start. And the forecast from BOM, if we can take that at face value, is positive. They're talking wetter than average winter, and they're talking rain this Thursday and then rain again on the 9th of June. So if that all comes off, that will probably go a long way to contributing to a full profile.
How confident are you in the accuracy of the latest BOM forecast?
It's two up, really. You know, we've got heads or tails, and it's about a 50-50 chance of a good season or an average season. So, you know, I think this year they're probably 60-40. But as long as we start with a full profile and get some rain through the winter, we'll be okay. But we're truly, you know, we talked about this before, we're setting up for the next summer crop. That's really what we're aiming at. Cotton's still above 500 for next year, and the sorghum price is relatively good. And we usually grow better yields in the summer than the winter.
Mice, though, looking to that winter crop, will you be baiting? What are you thinking in terms of mice control?
We bought early. We bought enough bait to do the winter crop area twice, and that includes the chickpea area. They're in the sorghum stubble. They're in certainly in the grass country. Anything and anywhere where we've got grass and sorghum stubble next to each other, they're becoming more prolific. After the rain, we had rain about 3 weeks ago. That dropped the numbers off when it got cooler after that, and we're hoping this week will be the same. We haven't baited a broadacre on the farm since the sorghum was maturing back in sort of February, March. But, you know, who knows? We're ready to go if we need to bait, and they're there, and let's just hope that the cold weather keeps them at bay.
David Brownhill at Spring Ridge joining us on the Country Hour today. And of course, last week I was in the northwest where growers around Moree and other districts are busy sowing after recent flooding delayed planting for some. Now, many in that part of our region have their crops in the ground and things are looking positive thanks to good soil profiles. And that's all from me here in the New England Northwest. Now we'll head across to the Upper Hunter with Mike Pritchard.
Thanks, Lara.
There's mice everywhere. There's one farmer up the road who's got all this beautiful hay right round the fence, and you drive past now and all you see is the middle of the hay falling out, chock-a-block full of bloody mice.
That's putting it mildly, Gundy resident Brenda Ogilvy. This year has been one of the better haymaking seasons, only to be spoilt by the mice plague, with hay reserves and newly baled hay suffering badly from the mice plague. Broadacre crops such as wheat, barley, sorghum and canola are grown extensively across the region, but it's canola that looks like dominating the landscape, with new growers diversifying their enterprises. Agronomist Tim Sawley.
Canola's certainly strengthened this year with strong pricing from struggling overseas countries in their canola production, so that's certainly put the price up for canola this year and been attractive. Canola seed nearly been unprocurable in the last probably 6 to 8 weeks, really. So, yeah, very popular this year.
So quite some diversification in the crops across the region.
Yeah, there is. You know, there has to be in the cropping systems nowadays. We direct drill a lot of country nowadays, so which leaves stubble on the ground, which sort of forces us into not growing the same crop year in, year out. So most guys have to rotate their crops for that reason. That brings a diversity, really.
We've got canola coming up at the moment. You've got chickpeas that'll go in the ground very shortly.
That's correct. So the canola at the moment is sitting anywhere from just coming out of the ground, sort of cotyledon stage to four-leaf stage, depending on where guys are in elevation. Wheat and barley have both been sown, probably just about finished, so a lot of it's come out of the ground or not just out of the ground yet. Chickpeas will still be another couple of weeks away before they're sown. So that's sort of the stages everything's at.
And there's a eye to the sky at the moment because over the next couple of days there's some rain forecasts. You're in the situation where you need some at the moment.
Yeah, definitely the case. So with systems nowadays, we can sow quite late after rain events, but it is getting tight. So the last real good rain we've had was in March, and we had a small amount of rain early May, so which allowed guys to keep sowing. But yeah, we're looking for a bit of rain now to top dress crops with fertiliser, or maybe to sow a bit of pasture is the other things that are still going in at the moment. We're pretty confident in the season at the moment because we're sitting on above average soil moisture profiles in the ground. we really just need some top-up rain through the winter months.
Mark Campbell has a cropping enterprise in the Merriwa district, and he was planting when I interrupted his sowing.
I've actually got the tractor humming away in the background. I had to pull up, change a few points and fix a few things up, but currently we're sowing some improved pasture, loosening fescue, and we're trying to scramble and get that in before the rain comes, hopefully.
What's the soil profile like? Are you comfortable with that at the moment?
It is quite good at the moment, but germinating moisture close to the surface is quite marginal. So a lot of people are hanging out for this bit of a shower that's sort of forecast and hoping that can work in their favour to get us over the line to finish off a lot of our sowing.
Sowing of improved pasture. You've also got canola in the ground.
It's up and going. It's probably sort of that four-leaf stage and going quite well. It does want a drink, which hopefully we'll get pretty shortly.
Sometimes there's challenges this early in the crop growth. Have you got any challenges at the moment getting it up?
Oh, certainly. It wasn't so much of a trouble when we were sowing to get it out of the ground. It was battling all the insects. So we've had quite a few slaters this year, wireworms and also slug, which have been a bit of a challenge for us.
And mice too.
It hasn't been so much of a trouble for us at the moment, but we are starting to see them increase in numbers again.
That was Mark Campbell, Merriwa farmer. Now, for the very last time, it's back to you, Michael.
Oh, no, thank you, Mike Pritchard. And we'll definitely miss you when you go tomorrow. We'll be, of course, as those people that don't know, Mike Pritchard's last day on air for the ABC. Well, let's head to the mid-north coast now, where many graziers are struggling to re-establish pasture destroyed by the floodwaters. One producer from the Maclay Valley doesn't expect to see grazing on his paddocks till September, and he's trying to source feed from other parts of the state. Keely Johnson is speaking to Stuart Wichard.
The reality is that we're still between 6 and 8 weeks behind. We've still got corn crops on the lower Maclay that are on paddocks that were too wet to harvest. We're actually today going to start that, and I know it's very much the same over at Rowlands Plains as well. So in the Hastings Valley, they've still got crops that are on the ground that should have come off 2 months ago, and we could have been establishing ryegrass and oats and winter pasture, and those crops aren't even in the ground yet. Where we've been able to get on paddocks that have been dry enough and plant crops, they're certainly doing okay, but not the exceptional growth that we should be seeing. I know some of the local dairy farmers are having their first graze of ryegrass in the last couple of weeks, but they should be a lot further advanced, the crops that they have in, and they're just not performing, and that's all a combination of the wet and now the cold as well. It just all impacts, and it's going to be a long recovery process. We won't sort of get out of that flood damage phase until at least spring, maybe summer even.
And you must be a bit worried heading into winter. This is obviously not ideal. I mean, how's it making you and other farmers there feel?
I guess there's a fair few people that are a bit nervous about the cost going forwards of providing feed. So we do have some round bale silage on the Maclay that's available, but it's the ongoing cost. So these farmers have been impacted by drought and now bushfires and now this flood. And it's the long-term economic recovery cost that they're worried about. In saying that, the mice plague in the west is impacting the quality of stored feed out there. There's a lot of hay been damaged and a lot of grain that's really been reduced in quality due to that mouse plague. So finding quality stock feed to bring over from the west, which is traditionally where these guys would look to, is getting harder as well due to that the impacts of that mouse plague.
Julie Moore is a dairy farmer at Dorrigo, just west of Coffs Harbour. Her paddocks were waterlogged after the floods, and she's found it extremely hard to re-establish pasture on affected fields.
We had our yearly rainfall in the 4 months from December to the end of March, and so that's 2.5 metres of rain. So we were just waterlogged. Like, our paddocks were extremely wet. We couldn't get on them to sow any pastures.
And now we're 2 months after the floods. How's it looking? I'd assume it's still not ideal.
No, it's not. We're about two-thirds of the way through planting our farm. With all of the water logging, the ground temperature cooled down earlier than we would have liked it. So pasture that we planted early on, we're just getting our first grazing off it now. So we're, well and truly behind.
How far behind would you say? A matter of weeks, even months?
We're about 6 weeks behind.
How does that affect the business, I guess, in the long run?
Well, we've had to utilise stored feed that we've had, and we've purchased in some hay and silage as well to keep everything going.
Have you had any issues getting in feed? Because I was speaking to another grower that said he tried to get some from his usual place, but out west they're obviously having issues with mice. Is that the case for you, or you've got a steady supply there?
We've been fortunate enough that, you know, at the moment we've been able to source it from a mouse-free zone, but that's concerning for other farmers that are a lot more reliant on bought-in feed than us.
That was Dorrigo Dairy Farmer Julie Moore speaking there to Keely Johnson, and that concludes our wrap of the cropping situation and the pasture situation around the state.